Chapter 28. Housed on the 10th floor of NUMA headquarters is the modern-day equivalent of the famed Alexandria Library. The glass-enclosed computer center that takes up the entire level contains a vast digital library that includes every book and article, every scientific fact and record on the world's oceans, all connected to a high-speed computer network with the capacity to transfer enormous amounts of data in a blink of the eye. The center is the brainchild of NUMA's computer genius, Hiram Yeager, who dubbed the artificial intelligence entity he created Max. It was Yeager's idea to give Max a feminine human face represented by a three-dimensional holographic image with auburn hair, topaz eyes, and a soft, feminine voice. Paul Trout had decided to forego the flirtatious holographic image. Rather than use Max's central control panel, where Yeager communicated with the computer by voice, Trout had taken over a meeting room in the corner of the data center. He had set up a simple keyboard to tap into Max's vast store of knowledge. The keyboard communicated with an oversized monitor that took up most of one wall. Seated with Trout at a mahogany table where they faced the screen were Gamay, Dr. Adler, the wave scientist, and Al Hibbett, the NUMA expert on electromagnetism. Trout thanked everyone for coming and explained that Austin and Zavala had been called away. Then he tapped the keyboard. A photo of a thin-faced man with dark hair and soulful gray eyes appeared on the screen. "I'd like you to meet the gentleman whose genius brought us here today," Trout said. "Here you see Laszlo Kovács, the brilliant Hungarian electrical engineer. This photo was taken in the late 30s, about the time he was working on his revolutionary electromagnetism theories. And this is what can happen when scientific brilliance is perverted." Trout changed the picture to a split screen that displayed two satellite photos. On the left was the photo of the freak waves that sank the Southern Belle. The other side showed the giant whirlpool as viewed from space. He let the significance of the pictures sink in. "We in this room have speculated that someone might have used electromagnetic transmissions based on the Kovács theorems to cause these disturbances. As you know, Gamay and I went to Los Alamos and talked to an authority on Kovács' work. He confirmed our suspicions of human interference and suggested the type of electromagnetic manipulation we've been seeing could cause a polar reversal." "I assume we're talking about a reversal of the magnetic poles," Adler said.
"I wish that were so," Gamay interjected. "However, we may be facing a geologic polar reversal where the Earth's crust actually moves over its core."
"I'm not a geologist," Adler said, "but that sounds like a recipe for a catastrophe."
"Actually," Gamay said with a smile as bleak as it was lovely, "we may be talking about doomsday."
A heavy silence followed her pronouncement. Adler cleared his throat. "I heard the word may. You seem to be giving yourself some wiggle room."
"I'd be happy if I could wiggle out of this situation entirely," Gamay said. "But you're right in sensing that we've given ourselves room for doubt. We don't know how reliable our Los Alamos source is, so Paul has come up with a way to test the Kovács theorems."
"How could you do that?" Adler said.
"By using a simulation," Trout said. "Much the same way you would recreate sea conditions in your lab using a laboratory wave machine or computer model."
Hibbett said, "Kovács only wrote of his theories in a general way. He left out some of the specifics."
"That's true," Gamay said.
"But Kovács self-published a more detailed summary of his theorems. He used it as the basis for his published writings. There is only one copy in existence."
"If only we had it," Adler said.
Gamay slid the Kovács folio across the table without comment. Adler carefully picked the papers off the table and noted the name on the cover, Laszlo Kovács. He glanced through the yellowed pages.
"This is written in Hungarian," he said.
"One of our NUMA translators came up with an English copy," Trout said. "The math is a universal language, so there was no problem there. Testing was another matter.
Then I remembered the work being done at the Los Alamos National Laboratory, where scientists have come up with a way to test nuclear bombs from our arsenal without violating international treaty. They test the bomb's components, figuring in factors such as materials deterioration, and they feed the data into a computer which runs a simulation. I propose to do the same.
It's certainly worth a try, Hibbett said.
Trout tapped the keyboard and an image of the Earth appeared on the screen. The globe had a section cut out like a slice of orange to expose the layers of the inner core. Liquid iron outer core, the mantle, and the crust. Maybe you can explain this diagram, Al.
Glad to, Hibbett said.
The Earth is like a big bar magnet. The inner core of solid iron rotates at a different speed from the outer core of molten iron. This movement creates a dynamo effect that generates a magnetic field called the geodynamo. The picture changed to depict the intact globe. Lines looped out into space from one pole and curved back into the opposing pole. Those are the lines of magnetic force, Hibbett explained. They create a magnetic field that surrounds the Earth and allows us to use compasses. Even more important, the magnetosphere extends out 37 miles. This creates a barrier that protects us from the harmful solar wind radiation and swarms of deadly particles that bombard the Earth from space. Trout changed the computer image. They were looking at a map of the world. The ocean surface was splotched with blue and gold patches. In the 1990s, scientists pulled together everything known about the Earth's molten core and fed it into a supercomputer, Trout said. They threw all sorts of stuff into the mix. Temperature, dimensions, viscosity. They found that the poles reversed themselves every 100,000 years or so, usually when one started to weaken. It looks like we're in for another cycle.
The Earth is undergoing a natural polar reversal, Adler said.
Apparently, Trout said. The Earth's magnetic field started to deteriorate seriously around 150 years ago. Its strength has waned by 10 to 15% since then, and the deterioration in the field has accelerated. If the trend continues, the main field would weaken and almost vanish, and it would reappear with the opposite polarity.
Needles that point north would point south, Hibbett added.
That's right, Trout said. A magnetic polar reversal would mean a whole host of disruptive events, but the impact would be minimal. Most of us would be able to adapt and survive. Studies show that the magnetic poles have reversed many times.
Herodotus wrote about the sun rising where it normally sets, Gamay said. The Hopi talked about the chaos that comes about when the two twins who held the Earth in place leave their position. These could have been interpretations of ancient polar shifts.
While legend is fascinating and often contains a grain of truth, all of us at this table are versed in the scientific method, Adler said.
That's why I didn't mention the clairvoyants and pseudo-scientists who predicted an end of the world, Gamay said. The whole concept of polar shift got mixed up with theories of Atlantis and ancient astronauts.
As a wave expert, I deal with huge ocean forces, Adler said. But a shift in the outer surface of an entire world seems unbelievable.
Normally I would agree, Gamay said.
But paleomagnetists who have studied lava flows have shown that the ground has moved in relation to the Earth's magnetic north. North America was once deep in the southern hemisphere, where it straddled the equator. Einstein theorized that if enough ice accumulated on the polar caps, a shift could result. Scientists have found that there was a major reorganization of the Earth's tectonic plates about 500 million years ago. The previous north and south poles relocated to the equator, and points on the equator became the poles we have now.
You're talking about a process that takes millions, billions of years, Adler said.
Trout brought the discussion back to the computer simulation.
That's why we should look closer at the present.
The image on the screen shows the Earth's magnetic fields. Those splotches in blue are inward-directed fields. The gold is outward-directed. The British Navy kept records of the magnetic and true north for 300 years, which means we've got a pretty good database. What we see here is an increase in the number of blue islands,
which would indicate magnetic anomalies where the field is flowing the wrong way, Hibbett said.
That large patch of color is the South Atlantic anomaly, where the field is already flowing the wrong way, Trout said. The anomaly's growth accelerated around the turn of the century. This ties in with Magsat readings that show weak areas in the North Polar region and below South Africa. The observations are consistent with computer simulations that show the possible beginnings of a flip.
You've made a convincing case that geologic and magnetic polar reversals have occurred, Adler said.
But what we're talking about is the possibility of man precipitating such an event.
That's a lot of hubris on our part. Man is capable of much, but our puny efforts are not capable of shifting the entire surface of the planet.
Seems crazy, doesn't it? Trout said with a crooked grin. He turned to Hibbett.
You're our electromagnetism expert. What do you think?
Hibbett stared at the screen.
I had no idea the Southern Ocean anomalies had grown so rapidly.
He paused in thought, then, choosing his words carefully, said, What Laszlo Kovács got into was the nature of matter and energy. He discovered that matter oscillates between the stages of matter and energy. Energy is not subjected to the rules of time and space, so the shift from one phase to another is instantaneous. And matter follows energy's lead. In addressing this question, we have to look at the Earth's electromagnetic makeup. If the electromagnetic energy changes in a certain way, matter, in this case the crust of the Earth, can change as well.
You're saying a geologic polar shift is possible, Gemay said.
I'm saying that a man-made magnetic polar shift, with its intense short-term nature, may precipitate irreversible geologic movement, especially now with a natural shift shaping up. All it needs is a nudge. An addition or discharge of electromagnetic energy that changes the field could stir up changes in matter. Cyclonic disruptions of the Earth's core or magnetic field may have been responsible for the freak waves in the whirlpool. It wouldn't be the slow shifting of tectonic plates. The structure of the entire planet could change in an instant.
With what results? Gemay said.
Catastrophic. If the crust slips around the molten core, inertial forces would come into play. The shift would create tsunamis that could sweep across continents and winds more powerful than any hurricane. Earthquakes and volcanic eruptions with massive lava flows would develop. There would be drastic climate changes and radiation storms. He paused.
Species extinction is a definite possibility.
There's been an increase in violent natural phenomena over the past few decades, Gemay said. I wonder if those are warning signs.
Maybe, Hibbett said.
Before we scare ourselves silly, let's get back to the facts, Trout suggested. I've taken the polar shift simulations from Caltech and Los Alamos as a base. I fed in the report Dr. Adler compiled on the ocean disturbances and the material Al submitted on the use of electromagnetic low-frequency transmissions. We've also simulated conditions of the molten currents in the core of the Earth where the magnetic fields are formed. The Kovács papers are the final part of the equation. If we're all ready...
He tapped the keyboard.
The globe disappeared and a message appeared on the screen.
Hello, Paul. How's the best-dressed male on the special assignments team?
Max had picked up on his password. Trout squirmed in his chair and yearned for the time when computers were simply dumb machines. He typed in, Hello, Max. We're ready for the computer simulation.
Is this an academic exercise, Paul?
No. Max paused for several seconds. It was an unusual response from the high-speed computer.
This event can't be allowed to happen.
Trout stared at the words.
Was it his imagination, or did Max seem alarmed? He typed a question. Why not?
It will result in the complete destruction of the Earth.
Trout's Adam's apple bobbed. He typed one word. How?
Watch.
The globe reappeared on the screen, and the gold patches on the oceans began to move. The red patch in the South Atlantic linked up with other patches of the same color until the entire ocean area below South America and South Africa blazed in red. Then the continents began to change their positions. North and South America did a 180-degree shift so that they were lying on their sides. The points that had once marked the equator became the North and South Poles. Violent surface phenomena spread over the globe like a virulent disease.
Trout typed another question and held his breath. Is there a way to neutralize this?
Yes.
Don't let it begin. It can't be reversed.
Is there any way to stop the reversal?
I don't have sufficient data to answer that question.
Trout knew he had gone as far as he could. He turned to the others. Adler and Hibbett had the look of men who had just been given tickets for a boat ride on the River Carron.
Gamay was equally stunned, but she had a calm expression on her face and determination in her eyes.
There's something here that doesn't make sense. Why would anyone do something that could mean the end of the world and of themselves?
Trout scratched his head.
Maybe it's the old adage of playing with fire. It could be that they don't know the danger of what they're doing.
Gamay shook her head. The capacity of our species for boneheaded actions never seems to amaze me.
Cheer up, Trout said. Pardon the gallows humor, but if this goes through, there won't be any species.